This is the Reverend Christy Hoard from St. John's Episcopal Church in Pensacola, Florida. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast, St. John's Talks, a collection of sermons, interviews, and speaker events here at St. John's Episcopal Church. I hope you enjoy.
In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So this is the last Sunday of Easter. And we are preparing to meet the Holy Spirit next week on Pentecost. But when we think about Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, what we refer to as the Trinity. Well, the Trinity, they were planning a holiday. And the Spirit, manifesting the creative part of this divine union, was coming up with ideas. And so the Spirit says, well, let's go to New York. And no. The Father says, no, I can't go to New York. They're all so liberated. They'll spend the whole time calling me Mother, and it'll just do me in. So the Spirit sat back and said, well, I know. How about we take a trip to Jerusalem? You know, it's beautiful there, and there's all the history and everything. And Jesus says, no way. After what happened the last time I was there, I'm never going there again. So at this point, the Spirit's sort of getting annoyed, and he went off in a huff. And sometime later, he returned, and he found that the Father and the Son had a great idea that they were both very excited about. And they said, why don't we go to Rome? Perfect, cried the Holy Spirit. I've never been there before. All right, it takes a minute. That's all right. So this last Sunday of the Easter season, we're both looking forward, and we also are looking backward. And as I was looking for things to talk about today, I came across a wonderful sermon by Linda Lee Clatter, and she was the homiletics professor of Church Divinity School of the Pacific. And she took an interesting take on this reading today, specifically from the Gospel of John. So I want to share it with you. We've heard about Jesus' appearances to his disciples, and we encounter them today in this story from Acts, and we see him glorified and gloried as he ascends to return to God the Father. And Jesus has continued to hint or outright say to his disciples, there will be a coming of the Holy Spirit. And next week, we'll celebrate the birth of a new church, a church that explodes into mission with gifts from the Spirit Christ promised. But today we pause for a moment to hear the prayer that Jesus prayed for his disciples. It's a prayer that we too claim as a prayer for us. Now, at our reading today, we only get a snippet of this prayer. But all of chapter 17 in the Gospel according to John is a prayer. And anytime you wonder whether God is fighting for you or hears you, I offer you open the Gospel according to John in chapter 17 and read this prayer that Jesus offers for all of us. Now, there is assurance and certainty in this prayer. Jesus recognizes he has given his disciples knowledge of the truth. He has made God known to them, and therefore God known to us, through his life and teaching. And now, Jesus prays for their protection. And maybe even more importantly, Jesus prays for unity. When Jesus prays that his followers may be one as he and the Father, as he and God are one, he is not only praying that we should become one with God or one with Christ, but that we should become one with one another, with each other in the way that Jesus is one with God. Now, in some ways, I think this first part, becoming one with God and Christ, is sort of the easier part, right? because we all have our own ways, our own discoveries to grow in our oneness and our identity in God through Jesus Christ. We may ground our growth in worship as we gather here on Sunday mornings. We may follow a spiritual discipline of prayer, study, Bible study, or service to others. We may dedicate ourselves to a particular ministry and cause for justice or healing or pastoral presence. But no matter which path we follow toward our oneness with God, the Holy Spirit is acting in our lives and is drawing us closer and closer to reveal to us the presence of God. And all we have to do is open our eyes and our ears and be willing to receive and respond. But Jesus is also praying that his followers may be one with one another. And there's the rub. There, of course, is where the challenge lies. You may have heard the quote, "Being a Christian would be so easy if it weren't for other people." For those outside of the church, and by church I mean the broader Christian community around the world, the Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church of Jesus Christ, it may appear that disunity is more the defining word. We have our denominations, we have our sub-denominations, we have our sub-sub-denominations. We argue over who can be ordained, what words we can use when we pray. We might argue over our alliances with this or that group of the world or within even our own communities. We might fuss over how churches participate in secular life or how religion interacts with the state. But it's helpful to remember that none of this is new. When there were still people walking the streets who had known Jesus face to face, this community of followers were arguing. They argued over who could sit at the dinner table. They argued over whose party was the real church. They argued over whether or not you were truly a follower of Jesus if you didn't exhibit certain spiritual gifts. And so we may wonder, with all of this contention and disunity from the past and in the present, we may wonder that Jesus' prayer that we may be one has never been answered. Do we trust that God does hear prayers? Do we trust that God does answer them? If we do, then our problem may be with our assumptions of what an answered prayer looks like. In this particular case, what unity looks like. Some ancient theologians talked about Jesus' oneness with God in terms of movement. That there's a kind of interweaving, even a dance, so to speak, among the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit as these three entities move and be with one another. And so what if the answer to Jesus' prayer for unity, what if it wasn't about solidifying and agreeing onto one way of being? What if it wasn't about solidifying and agreeing into one monolithic box, so to speak? But rather, what if this idea of unity is really joyful interplay? Glorious dancing. Perhaps the vision toward which we strive is not one of total agreement. but rather of the ability to join in our differing ways, in our differing ideas about how the world should work and function. Perhaps the strive is not to be in one total agreement, but of the ability to join in all of the different ways into this common dance that we call faith. As St. Paul says, the Christian church has many parts with many dancers, a song with many voices. Is it possible that this is what Christian unity looks like? And maybe the challenge for us in response to all of this variety and disagreements and to trying to decide who's right and who's wrong, maybe the challenge for us in understanding that Christ's prayer has been answered is that in response to this variety and difference of opinion and ideas and hopes and dreams, because don't we all essentially have the same hopes and dreams, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven? Maybe the challenge for us to see the answer to this prayer is to simply say yes. To say yes, that there is pain in diversity, but there is possibility too. To say yes, there is struggle in walking side by side with other followers of Christ who just may not see it the same way we do. There is struggle there, but there is also glory. So what if the prayer that Jesus prays for all of us today, what if the answer is truly not that there won't be disagreements or that everyone will be of one mind, but what if the answer is learning to find peace among anxiety? What if the answer is to find peace among differences? What if the answer is to live into the disagreements of the world and the tensions of the world with an unknowing, that peace that passes all understanding, and to be able to listen and to hear, to disagree and still to love? What if the answer to Christ's prayer is to find peace among the anxiety and the diversity and the disagreement, whether things go our way or they don't? This, my friends, I wonder, is perhaps the answer Jesus was praying for. And in turn, that puts a lot of pressure on us. Do we believe that God answers prayers? I do. Do they always look the way that I hope and think they should? Rarely ever. But I can continue down this journey knowing that Christ is praying this very prayer. Not only that I, as a follower, may continue to grow in understanding my relationship with God through Jesus Christ, but that I too, as a follower, will continue to understand and grow how to be one with others. Amen.